Where do you go when you want to know what's new to do and who is who?
Studio Classroom is the place to be.
Come along and you will see connecting is the thing to do. Give your life a different view.
You can learn and you can share with people living everywhere.
Studio Classroom, the place to learn.
The place to grow.
Stay tuned and watch the show.
Hello and welcome to Studio Classroom. My name is Gabe.
And I'm Carolyn.
And your English will improve today. We're going to join Jo in the second part of her lesson, Life in Nepal, Part 2. Of course, Jo went to Nepal to work for a nonprofit organization. She went there to help. In some ways, she was volunteering. She was volunteering her time. She went for this experience. Well, have you ever volunteered somewhere? Life has many opportunities where you can volunteer. Carolyn, do you ever volunteer? What do you do?
Well, sure. I love to volunteer. When I was in the U.S., I would volunteer a lot of my time at church or with after-school programs. So I would help with music programs at church and with a local drama group.
Oh, cool. So you volunteered your time there. I also did some after-school programs, helping some kids as they were trying to learn English. Well, there are many different ways to volunteer. Have you ever volunteered somewhere? If so, what did you do? Talk about that in English, of course. And of course, let's get started with today's lesson, Life in Nepal, Part 2.
Life in Nepal, Part 2. Thankfully, the bus made it to Dolakha safely. Our accommodations consisted of a humble farmhouse that was a combination of cement, wood, tin, and packed mud. The nonprofit's office occupied the first floor, the kitchen and our bedrooms the second floor. A family of five lived in a loft above. Both the second and third floors were accessible only by wooden ladders. As an intern, my job was to take photos, conduct interviews, and write articles. I would then send them to the nonprofit's headquarters in New York to be used on their website.
Hello, listeners. This is your Word Lady, Ellen. Living in a land far away from home can be exciting. In today's article, we rejoin Jo as she tells us more about her experiences in Nepal. Let's take a look at our vocabulary before we begin. Accommodations. Accommodations is a noun. Stephanie found very nice accommodations for us in Hong Kong. Conduct. Conduct is a verb. The boss will conduct interviews for the job next Monday. Plumbing. Plumbing is a noun. Carolyn's family finally put indoor plumbing in their old farmhouse. They can shower inside now. Terrace. Terrace is a verb. The sides of the mountain are terraced so that farmers can grow their crops. Your more information word is loft. Loft is a noun. Sounds interesting. Let's dive right in.
Well, we will continue learning more about her experience later, but first, let's go back up to the beginning of this lesson. We read, "Thankfully, the bus made it to Dolakha safely." All right, that's a great way to start today's lesson because you remember Jo's experience on the bus at the end of yesterday's lesson was a little bit scary.
Yes, it was very scary hearing about how she was taking this 8-hour bus ride on this single-lane mountain road, and they were just feet away, mere feet away, from the edge of a cliff. That would not be very enjoyable, but thankfully, the bus made it there safely, so there were no problems. And she goes on to describe where she stayed. She says, "Our accommodations consisted of a humble farmhouse that was a combination of cement, wood, tin, and packed mud."
All right, well, let's take a look at one of those words from our word bank, accommodations. Your accommodations are where you're staying. It describes what you have where you are living. So you notice there is an S at the end of this word. That's because this is talking about the place that you stay or live, especially if it's not your home. Okay, so what could describe your accommodations?
Well, I think of a hotel. When you're traveling, you need to make sure that you book accommodations so that you have a place to stay. So that could be a hotel, a hostel, a bed and breakfast, or even a humble farmhouse.
That's right. So a humble farmhouse might have something different than a hotel would. Their accommodations are slightly different or very different. Well, she is in a humble farmhouse, and it was a combination of cement, wood, tin, and packed mud. A combination. That means there are many different things combined. Well, right now it's time for us to listen to Steve and Ken and what they have to share with us about this humble farmhouse.
We usually associate the word humble with people. A humble person is someone who is modest. But humble, as we see in today's lesson, can also be used to describe a place.
Our lesson talks about a humble farmhouse, and that's just an unpretentious or lowly farmhouse.
If you invite friends into your house for the first time, you can greet them at the door and say, "Welcome to my humble abode."
And you can say that even if you live in a not-so-humble abode, like a mansion.
And that's often when it's used. "Welcome to my humble abode" is often said as an ironical understatement because the abode in question is far from humble.
Right. This apparent modesty is actually a way of saying, "Look at what I've got," without appearing offensively boastful. However, you can also find the statement being used by people who are a bit self-conscious about their home.
Right. Some people will say this because they truly feel that their home is nothing special.
So the correct response when somebody welcomes you to their humble abode is to compliment them with restrained but genuine sincerity about how pleasant their home is, whether the place is a single-room shack or a vast mansion.
Humble 我们知道是谦卑的，但 humble 也可以用来形容一个地方，表示简陋的。今天这篇文章的作者提到他在尼泊尔住的地方是一座 humble farmhouse， 简陋的农舍。那英文呢有一句客套话 ,welcome to my humble abode。abode 是住所，所以 welcome to my humble abode 就是欢迎光临寒舍。那讲这句话的人的住所不一定简陋，而且往往是高级的豪宅，但是因为呢，这是一句客套话，那你也知道讲的人呢是假谦卑，你也可以很客套的回答他说，哪里简陋啊，好美丽的家哦。这就是今天的 Info Cloud， 我们下次云端见。
Thank you guys. It is good to know how to use that word humble. And welcome to my humble studio.
Ah, yes, our very humble studio. Thank you. Welcome. Make yourself at home.
Yes, well, let us continue reading in our lesson today. The nonprofit's office occupied the first floor, the kitchen and our bedrooms the second floor. So there's more than one floor in this farmhouse, and she's actually living above the nonprofit office that she's going to be working for.
That's right. Now notice the way this sentence is worded. The nonprofit's office occupied the first floor, the kitchen and our bedrooms the second floor. Well, you could say the nonprofit's office occupied the first floor and the kitchen and our bedrooms occupied the second floor. If you don't have that "and" after the comma, you can take out the second occupied. You don't need to say occupied again.
So it's understood that the bedroom occupied the second floor. You don't have to say it again.
All right, well, let's continue here. She says, a family of five lived in a loft above. Okay, what is a loft? Well, that's something, it's an open space under a roof, And usually it doesn't have any partitions. It's not separated by any walls of any kind. You might just walk up from the second floor up the stairs to a loft, and you can see the room of the loft above from the second floor.
Mm-hmm. So this is a very special house, and we also learn both the second and third floors were accessible only by wooden ladders. So you didn't go upstairs, you went up a ladder in order to get to the second and third floors.
That's right, they were accessible by these wooden ladders. Well, how else can you use that phrase, accessible by? Well, you could say the office is accessible by elevator, or you can walk up the stairs. So we're learning about this place where Job was living. She continues, as an intern, my job was to take photos, conduct interviews, and write articles. We learned a little bit about the place where she stayed, her humble abode, this humble farmhouse. Now we're learning a little bit about her job.
And part of that job was to conduct interviews. So let's look at that word from our word bank, conduct. Now, if you conduct something, that means that you lead it. You're in charge of it. You get to direct it. So if you conduct an interview, that means that you're the one asking all the questions.
And that can be kind of fun. If you have to do something like this, it requires some creativity. You must think of some good questions during your interview. You could also conduct a survey. If you are thinking of the questions, you're handing out the pieces of paper with all these questions for people to answer, you are conducting that survey.
That's right, and we learn a little bit more about what she did with those interviews and the article she wrote. She says, I would then send them to the nonprofit's headquarters in New York to be used on their website.
That's right. Well, we have more to learn about this later, but for now, let's join Michelle in the language lab.
Hi, 大家好，我是 Michelle。首先我们看的是 accommodations 这个复数型名词。Accommodations 是指住宿或者是包括食宿。例如 ,such accommodations usually cost over $500 per night. 这样等级的住宿通常每晚要收费500元美金。或者是 accommodations were included in the package. 所有的食宿都包括在套装行程中了。继续我们看的是 conduct 这个动词。D-U-C-T 这个字根有引起的意思。所以 conduct 是指组织、安排、实施或者是执行。注意它的重音是在第二个音节念成 conduct。例如 ,the experiments were conducted by professionals. 这个实验是由专业人士执行的。Conduct 也可以当名词，意思是行为。这个时候注意它的重音就在第一音节念成 conduct。例如 ,his conduct led people to believe he's a cruel person. 他的行为引导人们认为他是一个冷酷的人。
We are continuing with the second day of the article, Life in Nepal, Part 2. Today we are learning a little bit about Jo's accommodations while she was in Nepal. She lived in a humble farmhouse on the second floor. The first floor was the nonprofit organization's office, and the third floor was a loft where a family of five lived. We've also learned a little bit about her responsibilities. She would conduct interviews, write articles, and then send them back to New York to be used on the nonprofit's website. Well, we have some more about her experiences coming up in the next part of our lesson.
Life in Nepal, Part 2. But I had a difficult time conveying my experience there. What words could I use to describe something so foreign to me? Village life was slow, simple, and mostly disconnected from the rest of the world. There were a few electric lights, but no indoor plumbing, no internet, and cell phone reception was poor. The locals were curious about the foreign girl and stared openly, but they were also friendly. I was living a world away from everything I was used to. But out on those terraced hillsides, soaking in the sun and sipping tea with my Nepali neighbors, I didn't really mind.
Okay, well, let's go back up to the beginning of this section where Jo was still sharing about her time at her internship at the nonprofit organization. She says, but I had a difficult time conveying my experience there. Okay, so we know that her job was to conduct interviews and write articles, and then she had to send these articles to New York, but it's hard to know what to share with the office in New York.
That's right. And she continues, what words could I use to describe something so foreign to me? And it can be difficult to find the right words to use when we're talking about something that we really aren't familiar with.
Exactly. So Jo has actually expressed this idea to me in person. How can I really share about this in the best way? Her experience there, Nepal, is so different from anywhere else she was before, so it can be hard to express herself. Well, she continues, village life was slow, simple, and mostly disconnected from the rest of the world. Okay, so it's a little different than what she has experienced in other places in the world.
And we see why it was so different. There were a few electric lights, but no indoor plumbing, no internet, and cell phone reception was poor. Wow, that sounds like a very difficult place to live when you are used to having all of those things.
I completely agree, Carolyn, especially, all three of those things. Plumbing, internet, and cell phone reception. I'm glad that she had some cell phone reception, even though it was poor reception. But let's take a look at one of these words here. From our word bank, it is plumbing. Now, plumbing has to do with the water and the gas and the sewage. And it's that stuff that is set up inside your house or your office or wherever you are.
That's right. And so usually we think of it as a system of pipes that transport liquids throughout your house, usually. It could also include the gas, but usually just liquid. How do you get the water from the first floor to the second floor? You need plumbing.
And you might need a plumber. Some people have special jobs. Their job is to help with plumbing. P-L-U-M-B-E-R. Is there a plumber that ever goes to your house to fix things if you need that? Well, they help with plumbing. So, Jo had no indoor plumbing, and that would make for a very interesting experience.
It would. And we learned some more about this interesting experience she had. The locals were curious about the foreign girl and stared openly, but they were also friendly.
Okay, so the people there were very friendly, but they weren't ashamed to just stare at you because you were a little bit different. Now, some countries are like this. You go and visit and people just stare openly because you look a little bit different. Other countries, it's not like that. People feel it's rude to stare openly, but not in Nepal. You can do that. You can stare openly at anything you want.
That's what it seems like. And she gives us a little bit of a conclusion to this experience. I was living a world away from everything I was used to. And she uses that phrase again, a world away. But out on those terraced hillsides, soaking in the sun and sipping tea with my Nepali neighbors, I didn't really mind.
Well, it sounds beautiful. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It is beautiful. I wouldn't mind talking about that word there from our word bank, terrace. Now, a terrace is a kind of, it's the way that the land is made. So it's different levels. Now, usually land is terraced for farming purposes. And so it's easier or better for the crops if the land is terraced one level after another.
That's right. It's also much easier when you are in a hilly or mountainous area like Nepal. There's not a lot of flat land. If you don't use the mountainside and terrace it, you can't really plant your crops.
That's right. So she was on these terraced hillsides, which does sound beautiful. Soaking in the sun. Let's take a look at that phrase. To soak in something, that means you are absorbing it like a sponge. You're enjoying it. What else can you soak in, Carolyn?
A lot of times we talk about soaking in information when you learn things quickly and well.
So we hope you do that. You soak in information every time you study here with us at Studio Classroom. Right now it's time for a review skit, and then we'll join Michelle in the language lab.
Please stop staring at me.
Sorry, but I'm curious because you are a foreign girl.
Yes, I am. And I'm living in a world away from everything I'm used to.
What is so different about Nepal?
Everything. Like the buses.
How are the buses different?
Here, buses travel on unpaved, single-lane mountain roads, mere feet away from the edges of cliffs. How scary!
Why is that scary?
I'm afraid I'm going to plunge to my death.
I'm used to it.
People crowd into seats and aisles, and luggage racks are filled with chickens and goats.
I think the chickens like it.
Some buses don't even have doors.
Oh, but they do have music.
Yeah, it crackles over ancient speakers.
Yeah, well, I like it.
And accommodations here are different, too.
What do you mean?
I'm staying in a humble farmhouse.
A humble farmhouse?
Yeah. Some floors are only accessible by ladders.
Ladders?
And a family of five lives in the loft.
Oh, how cozy.
How crazy. It has few electric lights, no indoor plumbing, and no Internet.
So Nepal really is different from the United States.
Yes, and that's what I'm writing about.
So why aren't you writing?
Nepal is just too different. I can't even describe it.
Okay, 接下来我们看的是 plumbing 这个名词。 Plumbing 是指水管的配管，所以它的B是不发音的，念成 plumbing. 例如 the building's plumbing system needs to be replaced. 这栋建筑的水管配管需要更换，或者是 Dad did the plumbing of our house himself. 我们房子的水管工程是爸爸自己做的。它相关的名词是 plumber, P-L-U-M-B-E-R, 意思就是指水管工人。例如 the plumber fixed our faucet in 5 minutes. 这位水管工人5分钟内就修好我们的水龙头。最后我们看的是 terrace 这个动词。 Terrace 是指把山丘修成梯田。例如 the farmers terraced the hillside and planted rice. 这些农民把山丘修成了梯田，种植稻米。Terrace 也可以当名词，意思就是指露台或台阶。例如 each hotel room has a terrace. 每个旅馆房间都有露台。And now let's return to our teachers.
Well, in our lesson these last couple of days, we really got to experience with Joe this world that is, or this place that is a world away from what she is used to. Now, I wonder if you are curious about Nepal now. Would you like to visit Nepal, Carolyn?
I would love to visit Nepal, and especially now that I know what to expect, that it is different, and there are things that I will have to get used to.
That's right. Of course, visiting a new culture, there are many things you might have to get used to. Well, we have more to learn from Joe's experience next month, Life in Nepal Part 3. But for now, it's time to say goodbye. We'll see you next time right here at Studio Classroom.
See you.
I am so proud to have you in my life, a good friend. Last a lifetime.